fellowship for the second session too. All right. Also, another feature. Thank you for the info. For the another feature of the plant kingdom is generating oxygen and certain things. They do all this, you know. And you can go to school, and that's all fine. That's right on the money. So you gotta have it. That I was always wondering in all this, well, when did God set up the particular required? I'm talking now. I'll get to this. The required atmosphere that is essential so you can take the next breath of air, and that had to be set up, and it had to be in operation too, obviously, without question. But anyway. On this thing dealing with the establishment of the luminaries, I know this is a killer. I mean, it's like just sends people. I want you to understand a couple things. I want you to understand that I have always said in my ministry and in my teaching that if anything in the academic world, be it science or history, and there's plenty, by the way, there's plenty, and it contradicts the Word of God, written by negative people, brilliant in some cases, researchers, writing all, doing all this stuff. If it contradicts the Bible, then what are we going with? If you can establish clearly what the Bible's saying about the topic. And they've done a number on the chronology line. Oh, it's ridiculous. And I'm not talking about the evolutionary timeline. That's just manufactured junk. Telling us that how long it took for, you know, this earth to get blown off out of this big bang, and that's why it's spinning, and it was so hot, and in 30 billion years it cooled down, and somehow it got an atmosphere, picked that up along the way, and I mean, it goes on and on, and you're going, yeah, right. You know, if science is the handmaid to the Bible, if you can prove, and you can't, but if you could prove statements about things in the Bible are erroneous, dealing with creation, then how do you trust anything else? It's not the infallible and errant Word of God anymore. It's this and that. And we place our entire faith on the clear teaching and the establishment of information categorically, exegetically, and so forth, all through our history. And we come down to this, and we come down to a cosmology that I can't imagine anybody looking at this and seeing any evidence whatsoever for the configuration of the universe that is the product of an explosion. You say, well, I don't accept that part. Okay, fine, you don't accept that part. That occurred billions and billions of years ago. I don't accept that part either. So you accept part of it. You expect the final configuration, but you don't accept this part. That's kind of weird. You say God did that. God created all this. Well, yeah, he created everything, but he created it according to the pattern laid down in Genesis 1. And I think it's, I don't know if it's humorous, but that this chapter stands out in the front of the Bible, and Satan had to attack it. He couldn't let it stand. As anything being reported in the school systems or anywhere, he had to debunk it. He couldn't let this stand. He debunked everything before by having all the mythology mess. And where all this came from, and the gods, and they inhabited the stars, and they'd come down, and they did this and that, and all that, where things came from. Poseidon, you know, and it sounded impressive, and they had all these high priests and these people running around putting this system that came out of Babel on everybody. And all the nations fell into this stuff. Well, that finally wore thin. And we went into the scientific age, the age of reason. We're above that now. We figured out the true science. And so Satan sees this and channels this mess gradually to the human race until we're locked into it. The only thing that pull you out of this kind of stuff is the Bible. And the Bible definitely deals with the origin of things. And clearly this chapter, who could argue with it? If you want to say I don't agree with this, then fine. Why are you here? I mean, we don't agree with Genesis 1? Well, not your version of it. Okay. My version of it is I'm a faithful reporter. I'm telling you what this cosmology is telling me. That we live on a circular, more or less flat earth with a dome that's non-rotating, with the heaven right above it. And we're not looking, we're not spinning and running around, and where's heaven? Depends on where you're at. And so people raise their hand, look up to heaven. Now it makes sense. You look straight up. And you're not wondering if Jesus is in some place remote, like millions of light years away. No. The whole scripture points to something very different. I know it's hard for people, some people. It shouldn't be, but it is. They just can't believe so many people could believe this and be wrong about it. What world do you think you're living in? You're living in a world of mass deception. And they've been working at this a long time. And there's plenty of atheists and God-hating people that are in science, theoretical stuff. And they've had this whole thing going. That's what it means. Every high and lofty thought and concept raised up against the knowledge of God is going to come crashing down. Don't you let you be on the wrong side of it. Well, I just know. But that's not an answer. I just know. I just know there's a Santa Claus. That isn't an answer. So you sit there and you're mad or you're upset. I've got the scripture. And I'm resting my crown and everything on it. And I'm praying for you like mad. This has not been easy for me. I mean, there's a certain joy in knowing the truth, obviously. And we have to wait to the fourth day to get the luminaries in place? Good grief. And at least you can say, well, you know, the sun, moon, and stars, they're only 3,954 years old. You could at least do that, couldn't you? Because it's because you believe, I don't know what all you believe, and I don't want to. But I know that the genealogies in the Bible help establish this timeline. Adam begot so-and-so, lived so many years, and then he had a son and begot so-and-so. It's a genealogy, for crying out loud. And a genealogy is to report accurately a sequence. And there's 42 of them to Christ. And we can trace that whole line down. There are all those patriarchs all the way through to Jesus Christ. And get the number of generations and establish a timeline. And a 7,000-year human history, you'd be laughed out of every place around. Oh, you're what, some wacko fundy. We'll see who's wacko. There's 7,000 years of human history. And none of this stuff that we have came as a result of some cosmic bang, some event, or God created chaos and threw this stuff all out there in a million directions. It's not becoming of a creator. If you're going to put people on an earth, what would you fix for them? Just as an engineer. Would you put them on a spinning ball? Or would you put them on a flat surface with a cover over it? I think I'd pick that one. But no, we got this. With all of its problems, when you have this other one, you don't have those problems. You don't have to explain, how can water hold on to a curve? You don't have to explain it. Doesn't have to be. No gimmicks, no nothing. So, this is what I'm striving to do here, and it's probably going to kill me. But that's the way it goes. I'm exaggerating. So the luminaries had these separate purposes. He manufactured these. So the questions hit your brain. It hit my brain. I understand that part. Hit my brain. Then where in the hell, how big is the sun and what is it made of? If this is all true under a dome, it can't be, it's not 93 million miles away and it's not 183,000 miles across. And so what is it? And what is the moon and how does this whole thing operate? Then it must be, Jack, that the stars are completely different than what they're telling us. Size, distance, makeup. Yes. Yes. That's the hard part for people. And I understand that hard part. But stick with this, and when you're in the face of somebody, you just tell your wife, your spouse, your whoever, just say, this makes sense. I'm a convert. I'm praying for you. This is making sense now. I didn't at first like it. I slammed the brakes on. I got pissed off. I ran around. My face got red. Did you never learn like that? Pardon the language. But that's the way it is. That is the reaction you get from people. Madder than hell. If they're not mocking. You know? And this is the truth. In all my years as a pastor teacher, dealing with certain statements in the Bible about creation, I had to wince. Why say that? I did. But I tried to accommodate it. People made you do it. Yeah, they made me do it. They got me in my office and no, they did not. They presented me with information and I wasn't bullied. I wasn't pressed. I took 2 years of struggle and soul searching and praying. And yes, I did pray. If there's anything, God, that we've missed, anything big, I like the little stuff too, so-called. If there's anything big, get it to me. And this is long before I ever heard anything. I didn't say, oh God, I got to have something big so I look good. Yeah, this is really making me look good. I got friends, bail out of here. You've been here for 40 years and you bail, and I didn't do anything any different with this topic than I did with the Antichrist, the U.S. and prophecy, or 9 other doctrines. I did the same exegesis, the same approach, the same thing, and fidelity to the text. Didn't do anything any different. But I'm out of here. That's not a mature move. I've even shown you scripture where there was a church in one of the 7 churches where things weren't good in that church. Not one commendation, all condemnation, but an open door to get it back together again. But there's a group of you in the church that do not adhere to this. He didn't say, you need to leave. No, I'm the Lord over that church, and I will deal with it. And I will. And God protects positive volition. So if I was suddenly corrupt, boom, he's going to deal with me. I've seen pastor teachers get their ticket punched that I knew and loved and was close to. And I saw it. And one in particular went south. If that had just been another dumb, fundy church, he wouldn't have done that because, hey, what do they care? But there was positive volition there. And he took him out of here. And I have people running around the church that know that wasn't happening. It was so dramatic, it was unbelievable. So God will take care of your positive volition. He'll protect you from me. You don't need to be protected from me. You need to listen to me. Don't come up with this stuff. Well, I just go outside and look and I just know it's this way. You know it's this way. By looking. Please. I get a different look altogether. I look up and see the sun. And I smile. 93 million miles away? I don't think so. Can you even compute that distance? And how do they measure it? What do they got to measure that with? They come up with this stuff all the time. This is a system. It's Masonic, it's Illuminati, and it's on the human race. Because what system better is for Satan than the one I'm showing you here to deceive people, or the one that's this free-for-all? Now we can inject it, because if you have a system, if you come up and see a building or a construction, you know people built it. And this would be a creator. This couldn't have evolved. No way. But with this other one, we can sell evolution. We can sell the Big Bang. We can sell whatever. Oh, aliens. Do you know there's Christians that believe there's aliens out there? Did Jesus go die for them? You've watched too many movies. The only aliens that are out there are demons that can look any way they want to look. And so once people start believing this stuff, people like make-believe. I figured this out. They love make-believe. They love these movies. They love this stuff. Oh, interplanetary space travel, blah, 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 all the rest of it. They can't get off this earth. They can just pretend to shoot a rocket to the sun. What? To the sun? What for? See if it's hot? We're going to get within 4 million miles of the sun. These jackasses. 4 million miles, that thing would melt. To what end? This keeps us entertained. This keeps us entertained. No, the sun isn't that far away. This is the funny part. It's just like the plants and coming up the animals. Where'd they come from? They came from one 24-hour day on this earth where God put it here. He's going to take it out just that quick. And guess what you and I are going to get to see in our resurrection bodies? We're going to get to see Jesus Christ create a new earth, just like the angels got to see the first one. We're going to get to see it. We're going to get to witness it with our own eyes. We're going to be in the void. And then there's going to be the great white throne judgment, and billions of people are in front of that one. They're all the unbelievers. They're cast into the lake of fire. We're going to watch all that go down. And then he's going to create a new earth. No sun, no moon, no stars. I gave you the verses. Just the light, the Shekinah glory of God, moderated for the environment so people isn't so bright and just knock you over. Because in heaven up there, it's unapproachable light right now. But it's going to be moderated for the human race, and he isn't going to stick a ball out there spinning with a new Jerusalem stuck on it like a needle in an orange. That's stupid looking. And the nations will come from all the corner and all around, and they will come to that new Jerusalem. And they'll bring their glory to it, and there will be no more crime, no more death, no more tears, none of it. And we're going to live on that earth. Earth 2 is coming up. Well, we've got a little bit of history to absorb first, but we're going to try to absorb it and then get ourselves to the millennium. You know, if you look at the Bible, look at the Bible. The kind of things we advocate, it just seems insane to people out there that a man on 3 hours on a cross bore the sins of everybody. I mean, my sins would have been enough. Good grief. Everybody? Everybody that's ever sinned, and they're going like mad. And you accept that by faith, don't you? You accept by faith that when Jesus said it was finished, every sin of every person was past, present, and future from that moment. It's not difficult. Well, that's a mind blower. You accept that by faith. How hard is this to accept? And that we've been fooled. We've been taken in by the God of this world, who is a master deceiver. He's good at it. You don't think he can fool people? Combination of time, negative volition, Christians compromising the Bible because we don't look foolish. I told you my story, you know, that when I was in college, the professor at one of the courses made fun of the Adam and Eve thing. Any of you believe that? No, I believe we all came from monkeys, and some of the monkeys didn't make it. They're still struggling to become humans. No, I believe there was a first man and a first woman, and God put them here. They were full-blown adults, like these were full-blown plants, and that he put them here. They were adults. Yeah, they had a lot to learn about God and about life. And boy, did they learn it. Some of the bad way, the hard way. But they had children, and they had children, and here we are. And there's a whole gene pool there. You know, this is our Creator. This is what he has done. He doesn't do things in this sloppy, chaotic way. He does things purposeful, and it makes sense. And that's why, you know, again, you see God in so many things. You take a little tiny watermelon seed, you stick it in the ground. You think it's going to be that big? It's going to turn into something that big? Yet it does, because he made it that way. His witness is everywhere. I see it all the time in the littlest things. I see the hand of God. I see what he is doing. And I have great capacity for it. I know this where it's all. It's the only thing for me in the logical realm that makes sense. So let's see here. I gave you on the firmament thing. I'll give you some more. We gave you. I'll just pick up point 24. I didn't check my deal here. The historical outworking of the plan of God is taught in this elaborate parade of individuals and animals, each contributing an aspect of the advancement of the story of redemption. In all the history of mankind, these starry pictures have remained the same. This all speaks of a Creator versus the chaos one would expect from some other scenario. The sun and moon play into this sign aspect as well. Revelation 12:1. No, it's not always easy to pinpoint these things. We don't have to just generally know. The four seasons are calculated relative to the moon. He made the moon for the seasons. The sun knows the place of its setting. For days and years enables man to track human history chronology. The regularity of the movement of the sun and moon over the course of a year is a vital aspect of human life. In verse 15, we have yet a third let be, which reiterates verse 14a and makes explicit that these luminaries were placed in the firmament of heaven so as to give light on the earth. And it was so is a repeated refrain, signifying a complete success with regard to the project assigned for the fourth day. In other words, this is the reality of the establishment of the luminaries above us. No other viewpoint as the origin of the heavenly luminaries is valid. 34:3. In verse 16, the human author supplies a breakdown of three categories of luminaries assigned to give light on the earth. First, look at the verb made, which has the related meanings to do, fashion, accomplish, or manufacture. 35. It was first seen in the account of the fashioning of the firmament. 36. And that was an engineering project. You say, well, what's the firmament made of? You know, that's not the fact. Is it exists? And there's some indication in Ezekiel chapter 1. It's transparent somewhat. It's opaque or whatever. It's made of, there's a thing mentioned there. And so we have the effect of a blue sky versus some other color. But people will pick up on little things and run with it. Don't let them do that. Get the big picture, you know. Also in verses 11 and 12, for the inherent ability of plants to replicate their seeds based on genetic programming of their seeds. Again, all of our cells are programmed. We have to have a programmer, an external programmer. They don't program themselves. 37, in verse 25, it is used in the creation of the animal kingdom. In verse 26, it is used in connection with the creation of man made in the image of God. What's that mean? That means that our soul mimics certain aspects of the divine essence. It's invisible. It's immortal. It has a conscience that hasn't been destroyed. In verse 31, it is used in a summary verse for all that God has accomplished on days 1 through 6. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, day 6. Regarding the fashioning and creation of man, see Genesis 5:1 and all those verses. Man has his overt body, and he has his inner soul. The body of Adam and Eve came first. Then God gave him a soul. I've taught you that over and over again. Note that God did not name the two great lights, sun and moon, for whatever reasons. Man did it. The sun was designated to dominate the day, the moon, dominate the night. The mention of the stars is almost like an afterthought, as the verb is implied. The stars also. Sun, moon, and stars were named by man. The first mention of, well, stars are named here, made the stars too. But I assume that that man did that. I don't know exactly on that. The first mention of the term sun in the Bible is found in Genesis 15:12, and the first mention of the moon is in Genesis 37, verse 9. Just out of curiosity. The noun sun occurs 147 times, and the moon occurs 80 times. In a remarkable and inexplicable text, both the sun and moon are mentioned together. This is the one that people want to do a number on. Guess what? You don't have to. I had a person in a church I had great respect for in Bible things, and I asked him about this. This was a long time. This was in the past. I never understood that, and that never made sense to me. It couldn't have. There's no way it could have made sense to a person. To make the servant of God look stupid, we have people trying to say that this is only the apparent motion of the sun, not the real motion. Okay, that's a position people take up. That this is simply metaphorical or analogy or whatever words they want to use. The fact of the matter is, it is a direct statement and a command directed at an object. And that's the long day of Joshua passage, where Joshua commanded that the sun stand still so they could have the extra data. They were a real formidable enemy, and they had them on the ropes, and they didn't want to let them go and regroup and have to fight and lose more men, and that kind of thing. So he was inspired of God to say what he said. I mean, it wasn't just some guy. You can jump up and ask God to make the day longer, and he isn't going to do it. Joshua 10, verse 12. I don't care how much faith you've got. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered the Amorites. This was a really big operation, conquest of these. They were a big enemy. Before the sons of Israel, and he said, in the sight of Israel, so he had a witness, O sun, stand still in Gibeon, and O moon in the valley. He doesn't just say stand still. He says to do it in a specific locale where the battle is going on, in that battlefield area. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? Book of Jasher? That's a non-canonical book. But it's recorded, a history book that's not biblical, but it's a history book. In the book of Jasher. That book of Jasher sounds like, and I looked this up, sounds like a fellow's name, and it could have been, but it's really the book of the upright. Jasher means upright. The book of the upright. A term for believers, adjusted. And the sun stopped in the middle of the day, in the middle of the sky, and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. There was no day like that before it or after it. When the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. The moon also stopped too. He didn't command the moon to stop, but it is recorded that the moon stopped also because they're synchronized. Modern viewpoint with its fixed sun has no explanation for the sun and moon standing still, as it would be ludicrous to imagine a spinning earth suddenly stopping and starting at the incredible speed of 1,040 miles per hour. But if that were true, why didn't he tell the earth to stop still? Stand still. It's the one moving. You don't tell somebody to stand still that's not moving, or you look stupid. And the Bible is not asinine. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. My faith is placed in that, and I want yours to be placed in it too. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say something and mean the exact opposite. That would be the exact opposite. A fixed sun and a moving earth, or vice versa. So both the sun and moon are perpetual motion and are synchronized. Psalm 19:4, Ecclesiastes 1:5, the verse that launched us into this. For the moon in motion, see Job 31:26, the moon going, walking in its splendor. The Hebrew noun term moon is also a term for month, Urak, based on the phases of the moon over the course of a month. 53. It's very important to state, note that the moon is a light. It is declared to be a light, which is totally independent of the light of the sun. God's work on day four was easy for him, considering the language of Psalm 8:3. It says it was his finger work. Things you do with your finger tends to be require a lot less energy. In the day of the Lord, sun, moon, and stars will not shed their light over the earth. This is a phenomena that will occur. The one I like the best for our purposes is try to explain this. This would make the Bible look real dumb. Not all of it, but part of it. And that is the Revelation 6, the sixth seal judgment, right up close to the middle point of the trib. Read the verse and judge for yourself. These are events in the day of his wrath, the tribulation. By the way, it's a period we're not going through, thank God. I don't care what some think about this. We're not going through the tribulation. The tribulation isn't going on right now, as bad as things are in a lot of ways. This is the worst period of human history for judgment upon the human race. To escape the tribulation, all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ in time. And you'll be raptured out of here, and the rest of the human race will trip right into it, blind as they are. Millions of us are going to disappear off the face of this earth in every walk of life. Graves are going to be emptied where believers were buried, their bodies resurrected into a resurrected immortal body like Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible reports. You want to be a part of this? First thing you do is believe in Christ. I'm doing the work of an evangelist. In case you're here, you're not a believer. If you are, great. I just want you to know you're not going to go through the worst period of human history. When this thing's over, the human race will be reduced to a small number. But everyone will get the gospel first. Heads up, here's the gospel. Grab it so you don't go to hell. Every nation and every language will have a UFO, an angel, proclaim the gospel. In every language. I don't know how that works. I'm bowled over by the power and the dynamic of angels. On both sides of the equation. It's incredible. I mean, how does an angel materialize themselves? What buttons do they push? And look like the different ones in the Bible. From an ordinary human being entertaining angels unaware. Did you ever entertain an angel unaware? Of course, you were unaware. But you ever entertain an angel? You might have. It's not, you know, you ought to treat people nice. You don't want to treat an angel crummy. It's not good. Be kind to people. And, you know. But anyway, how do they do this? How do they do this? The angels that stood by Jesus' empty tomb sent like lightning coming out of them. I don't know. I don't have to. I just know we're going to have a body that is equal or superior to that of angels. And I don't know how that works either. But can Yahweh do everything? Yes. He's going to resurrect us out of this, and there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, and then we're going to come back with Christ, and we're going to rule over this earth. And the righteous are going to rule over the earth, not the wicked. They'll be kicked out. And we're going to rule and reign with him over the nations for 1,000 years. That's the first phase of the kingdom of God, where we step into the eternal state on the new earth with the new Jerusalem. So much to learn, but I'll end this with you. I'll torture you with this one more time. I looked when he, Christ, broke the sixth seal. John's having a visionary experience of the future. And there was a great earthquake. We all know what an earthquake is, but this one's great. So, and the sun became black as sackcloth. It's like the lights are out, made of hair. And the whole moon became like blood. Coloration of red blood, red moon, which usually is pale or whatever, blue maybe. became like blood. Excuse me. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth. What? Star? In the past, my first thought was this refers to the angels being relegated back to the earth, but that doesn't happen till later. A little bit later, but later. They fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. First of all, one star, in the modern understanding, would wipe us out. Secondly, it takes, even if they're going the speed of light, it'd take quite a while for them to get here. So all that's kind of... The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up. A weird phenomena over our heads. I couldn't explain that one, but we'll just go with that. And every mountain and island, an island is the tip of a mountain, of course, were moved out of their places. Okay? Well, I think in this whole passage, everybody agrees that this is all physical. There's a physical phenomena associated with the sixth seal judgment that does not fit in part what we have been taught about these things. I present that to you as evidence, further evidence that something isn't right. Okay. Again, stars along with the moon rule the night. Psalm 136:9 says that. God has numbered and named all the stars, so new ones aren't being formed. He has named and numbered them from the get-go. And he has that record down. The star Bethlehem is known by the pagan name Jupiter. And the bright and morning star is known as the pagan name Venus. We still keep all these pagan names. We just can't seem to get away from it. We just are so attached to that. These two stars are not planets. Neither is the Earth. Gross misnomer. If what I'm telling you here is true, these are stars. They have their own light. No two stars, the stars aren't all alike. They're built, you have lights in your house, all different kinds, categories, intensity, makeup. Two categories of stars are fixed and the wandering stars. Jude's expression, Jude 13, wandering stars. They're moving around. They have we have a song, the sun and moon and their courses above. That's really not quite accurate by the system we're under. We've been brought up under. But it is accurate biblically. The one song, someone told me, I didn't check it out myself, the one song we sing, On This Terrestrial Ball, those verses were changed. The original old hymn was not that. FYI. These two, the latter explains the movement of stars within the constellations. Regarding the moon, it is a light, inherent within its makeup. Job 31:6. If I've looked at the sun when it shone, or the moon going in splendor or brightness, blah, blah, blah. Isaiah 13:10. In other words, the temptation from the STA to worship these things, to make a fetish out of them. Isaiah 13:10. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. So things, some wild stuff's going to be going on. And also 30:26, and the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. There's another end time phenomena, trying to pinpoint all these and all that activity. That's another story. And the light of the sun will be seven times brighter like the sun, like the light of 7 days. How's that work? What we learn from day four is that the sun, moon, and stars preceded vegetation upon the earth, and that the earth is older than the sun, moon, and stars. That's the record we have. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.